This episode is also brought to you by Oddmo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Highway 99E was closed early Wednesday morning after a Union Pacific train carrying lumber and wood products derailed near South End Road between Canby and Oregon City. Wow, I mean, I'm no fortune teller, but when a train literally goes off the tracks less than a week into 2021, that's probably not a good sign, right? Anyway, at 1:30 a.m., Clackamas County deputies and emergency crews responded to the train derailment, which officials said involved an estimated 15 cars. No injuries were reported, though an engineer complained of pain. Officials say there were concerns of hazardous materials being involved, but thankfully, no hazmat cars were affected, and the situation was determined to be safe. None of the cars or debris blocked the highway, but the cleanup was expected to take some time and involve heavy equipment. Drivers were urged to use caution in the area. Oregon Department of Transportation, Canby Fire, Clackamas Fire, Oregon State Police, Oregon City Police, and Union Pacific all assisted Clackamas County Sheriff's Office in the response. Information about what might have caused the crash was not released Wednesday. The Clackamas County Sheriff's Office said they will complete their report, but the railroad and the National Transportation Safety Board will conduct the investigation. For photos and video, find this story on our website at canbyfirst.com. Step aside Columbia Distributing, there may be a new and even bigger game in town. Now Hear This, Canby has learned of a massive new industrial development that is being considered for a 47.5-acre property on land owned by the Wygant family on Township, Sequoia, and Molino Roads. The property is currently farmland and is zoned for light industrial use. Its immediate neighbors would include American Steel and, eventually, Stanton Furniture, whose 174,000 square foot manufacturing and distribution facility is still under construction. According to speculative site plans filed with the City of Canby and obtained by The Current, the project's developers are proposing a single mammoth warehouse building designed for e-commerce use and spanning 683,000 square feet, or approximately 150,000 more than Columbia Distributing's new beverage warehouse and distribution facility, which is located further up Molino Road. The proposed warehouse would be 620 feet wide and 1,102 feet long, more than the length of three football fields. The plans for Canby South also include a possible future expansion of 107,000 more square feet. The project's team includes developer Trammell Crow Company and architects VMLK Engineering and Design, who have both handled many projects in the Canby Industrial Park, including Columbia Distributing. While the Columbia project was designed with its end user in mind, this may not be the case with Canby South. Its plans repeatedly describe the project as speculative, and TCC continues to recruit potential users, according to the city. Developers have invited surrounding property owners to a virtual neighborhood meeting this week to discuss the proposal, which is something the city requires for its industrial users. The team held a pre-application meeting with city staff in November. In the works since at least early 2018, Columbia Distributing's Canby facility was originally shrouded in mystery and known only by the codename Project Shakespeare. Columbia officials later told The Current that both the secrecy and the codename came from the fact that they did not yet know whether the ambitious plans to consolidate three Portland metro area warehouses in Canby would pencil out. Hence, the project was, quote, to be or not to be. It wasn't until months after the project was approved through the city's planning process that its end user was made public. Canby's dedicated emergency responders got their chance to receive the COVID-19 vaccine Monday, and Fire Chief Jim Davis and Police Chief Brett Smith were the first in line. If we're going to get COVID under control, I think it's critical that everybody does their part, Chief Davis told Now Hear This Canby, whose staff was invited to cover the event while abiding by strict infectious control protocols. And that includes us here in the fire department, Davis said. The clinic was planned in two parts. Monday's session at the main Canby Fire Station on South Ivy, and Tuesday at Malala Fire. First responders with Canby Fire, Canby Police, Malala Fire, Malala Police, Aurora Fire, and Colton Fire were all invited to take part. Dr. Richard Davies, the retired longtime medical director for the Canby Fire District, and several nurses volunteered their time to administer the shots. Davis estimated that 100 first responders would receive the immunizations between the two clinics, including 16 Canby officers and as many as 29 Canby firefighters and EMTs. The chief acknowledged that a number of firefighters had expressed concerns or asked questions about the vaccine, which is the first messenger RNA, otherwise known as mRNA, vaccine to be successfully developed and was created in record time. "A lot of it is wait and see," he said. "They don't want to be the guinea pigs. That's one reason I was willing to step up. And all the chiefs are taking it, as well as the administrative staff, a number of our volunteers, and our rehab group." He said he volunteered to receive the first shot because he wanted to lead by example. "We want to get out of these masks," he said. "We want to get schools back. We want to get businesses open and everything else. But if people are resistant to taking the vaccine, then we're never going to get there. We hope we can encourage the citizens to come get the vaccine when it's their turn, so we can get somewhat back to normal, but it's still probably going to be a year or so before that happens," he said. Chief Davis and Chief Smith got their shots Monday morning, simultaneously and side by side. Like all who received the immunizations, they were required to stay on site for 15 to 30 minutes to ensure they did not have an adverse reaction. "The same," Chief Smith joked when asked afterward how he felt. "Honestly, that was easy. It was a very small needle. I didn't feel it at all." Both chiefs were hopeful that the vaccine rollout represents the beginning of the end for the pandemic that has infected more than 113,000 Oregonians, killing nearly 1,500, and has brought innumerable challenges and changes to the daily lives of virtually all Americans. Canby personnel received the Moderna vaccine this week, courtesy of Clackamas County, which distributed 1,000 doses for the area's first responses and frontline healthcare workers. The vaccine does require a second dose, which will be administered in a similar fashion in about 28 days. For photos and video of the event, check out canbyfirst.com or follow the Canby Current on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The Canby School District says it is working to finalize a plan for gradually reopening classrooms, starting with students from kindergarten to third grade, while a growing group of local parents and community members demands more immediate action. Canby Superintendent Trip Goodall said in a letter to parents Monday that the district is eager to begin easing students back into classrooms, based on the announcement by Governor Kate Brown that she would lessen restrictions and offer resources to help get schools on track to reopen by February 15th. But is still approaching the transition cautiously. The superintendent said he will review the Oregon Department of Education's revised guidance for resuming in-person instruction when it is released on January 19th, and is also meeting with Clackamas County public health authorities to determine the best ways to safely reopen classrooms. The district will also be conducting a parent survey to get a read on how many families would take advantage of in-person learning opportunities when they are available. "We understand some families may not want their children to return to our classrooms at this time," Goodall said. "After I meet with state education leaders, local health authorities, teacher leadership, and district staff this week, we will finalize our plans around in-person learning and share a timeline with all families." As directed by ODE, Canby schools will prioritize elementary school students in return plans, Goodall said. Once we can successfully demonstrate that we can operate without contributing to the spread of COVID-19, we will add other grades, he said. While the governor announced her goal late last month of placing more districts on track to reopen classrooms by February, she also reclassified the coronavirus metrics for schools from mandatory to advisory. The move put the reopening ball squarely in the courts of local superintendents and school boards, virtually guaranteeing a showdown between parents, district leaders, and community members who want an immediate reopening, and those who would prefer a more cautious approach. A public Facebook group, Open Canby Schools, boasted nearly 300 members as of this week and had begun circulating a petition demanding that Canby Schools reopen now. Today is the day our schools could legally be open, local attorney and former Canby City Councilor Tyler Smith said in a January 4th post promoting the petition. Your kids could be learning in person, your gyms could be used, the kids could be playing with their friends, but they are not. The petition asks community members to sign the signature sheet and fax it to the school district office or email copies to Goodall and all seven members of the Canby School Board. The board is scheduled to meet for its regular session at 6:30 p.m. Thursday via Zoom. The agenda includes time for a lengthy report from the superintendent on the return to school planning. Senator Alan Olson, a Republican from Canby, abruptly announced his resignation from office Monday, telling colleagues it was a, quote, very difficult decision to make, but his family always comes first. Sometimes life throws you lemons, he said in a message to his Democratic counterparts who control the state Senate. That is the time to hold your head up and make lemonade. Olson's message did not elaborate about the details of his resignation, but said, quote, some of you know the circumstances, so I hope you understand my motivation. It was a pleasure working with all of you, he said in the email. I really enjoyed the job, the research, and the debates. I will miss that. Olson acknowledged the, quote, dire times facing the state and nation, and apologized to his colleagues that he would not be there to help. According to other media reports, Olson plans to move to Indiana to be closer to family. Olson has represented the 20th Senate District since 2010, when he narrowly upset incumbent Martha Schrader, a Democrat, by 227 votes. He won re-election as recently as 2018, when he took 51.8% of the general election vote over his Democratic challenger. Nominees to fill the remaining 2 years of Olson's term will be submitted by Republican Central Committee members in District 20 to the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners, who will then make the final decision. Ironically, Schrader is among the commissioners who will weigh in on Olson's replacement. However, she is now in the minority, with Chair Tootie Smith and newcomer Mark Schull joining fellow conservative Paul Savas on the five-member board. By law, commissioners will have 30 days from the date of Olson's resignation to appoint a replacement who will serve until the next general election in 2022.
B14068N7040.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
Well, I was trying to win this direct link pattern bingo game. That Hallmark gift basket is as good as mine.
Direct link bingo game?
You bet. Our local internet provider is hosting a virtual bingo game to show appreciation for their members. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, super cool. Who does that?
Direct link does. They miss seeing their members during these difficult times and wanted to offer a fun way to stay engaged and win some sweet prizes.
They really do work hard to embody that cooperative spirit, don't they?
Well, October is Cooperative Month, and DirectLink is a cooperative that was started back in 1904 by local farmers, so bingo kind of makes sense. They are one of roughly 260 remaining communications co-ops in the U.S. who provide connections over 40% of the land so that more than 50 million rural Americans have the technology that they need to thrive.
Well, that's pretty unique. So how does bingo work?
DirectLink members were mailed a bingo card at the beginning of September. Simply visit directlink.coop/bingo or DirectLink Facebook page every weekday to get that day's bingo number and cross it off your card. They're playing four different simultaneous games, with the blackout prize being a four-pack of tickets to a 2021 Mariners game.
Okay, wow. Get out of my way. I gotta go get my card right now.
Good luck, you know, on everything except that Hallmark basket, because, like I said, that's mine. Joining us on the Canby Conversation today are Scott and Haley Anderson. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
They are very excited this week about being featured in a major new reality show that's about to come out. It's the Go Big Show on PBS. Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
So, as they say in the advertisement, it's the biggest talent show on earth.
Yes.
But I think every new show says it's the biggest one.
This one, I think, was verified. The Better Business Bureau got into it. So
Yeah, it's
Guinness
official.
Was there. Yeah,
it's official. Yeah. Well, you know, it does have monster truck acts and motocross acts.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, we were kind of curious as to why we got called for it, to be honest with you. It seems, you know, the acts are all very eccentric and very extreme, and we're pretty much, you know, mainstream entertainment.
Yeah. That's funny that you mentioned that. I was going to ask you about that, because you guys do magic, like amazing tricks, you know, whether, like, you've done some stuff with us, it's just like close-up stuff that blows my mind, but you do these, like, big, like, Vegas-style illusions. But it is, like, more traditional what you would think of, like, a magic show, right? And then you look at the trailer for this show, and there are people, like, eating rattlesnakes and, like, wrestling alligators and, you know, like you said, jumping motocross, like, 10 stories in the air. And
yeah, you know, I think they got, like...
raises your eyebrows a little bit.
They got, like, 5 extreme archery acts, some slingshot acts,
yeah,
a lot of fire acts, some, you know, acrobats and yeah, to be honest, I think somebody dropped out at the last minute and they were scraping the bottom of the barrel. Well, we didn't have time to prepare, so we found out just days before we were leaving that we got on the show, and I just thought, you know, it was a last minute show that was put together, but we get there and everybody else knew like 4 months ago they were doing the show.
Okay.
So we had to come up with something unique, and it's something that's never been done on a reality show or one of these talent shows. And you always want to try to do something new.
Yeah.
But we didn't have any time to prepare.
Right.
So I had to, you know, go into the grab bag. And so we took something, and it's I'm going to cherish it for as long as I live, because it was really fun and really cool to do, because I've never been able to do something like that with my daughter.
Yeah.
And so we went back and we picked the first illusion that I ever bought. Mm-hmm. And then we worked her into it, and she was flawless. She was phenomenal. And so it was a father-daughter routine, you know, with assistant involved. And so I think hopefully it plays out pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they can post-editing, they can make you look as good or as bad as they want.
Right.
You learn. I think we were treated pretty well. And I think it'll be – I'm looking forward to watching it. More so looking forward to watching her.
Yeah. Are you pretty excited, Haley?
Yeah. I'm excited to watch it with, like, my friends, because my friend lives across the street and we're planning on watching it together.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I was excited about telling all my friends at school. My teacher wrote it down on a piece of paper, so she'll watch it with her family.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, yeah. What did your friends say when they found out you're going to be in the show? Did they see the preview? What did they think of?
They didn't see the preview, and we can't really talk to each other because we're on Zoom.
Okay.
So I told my teacher, and nobody else can really unmute when one person's talking.
Right.
So, but a lot of my friends were like their eyes were like really wide open. Yeah.
Nice. You've been wanting to do magic for some time, like your dad, right?
Yeah, I started when I was like 5, I think, my first show. And I was like, I'm going to do it. No, I'm not. No, I'm going to do it. No, I'm not.
Oh, you're feeling a little nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You were like that probably when you first started.
No.
No.
Not no.
Show off.
Yeah, right. Correct. She's accurate.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But you know what? It's a testament to her bravery, you know? So some... You know, seek the limelight, right? But getting up in public, you know, is when you look in the, what do they say, fear of public speaking is greater than the fear of death in America.
Yeah.
And she's gone out and done halftime shows for the Oregon Ducks,
right.
You know, and she does. She gets really, really nervous, but she still does it, you know, and that's courage, you know. And it's, you know, being able to go out and do something with the presence of fear, right?
Yeah.
So she's able to overcome the fear and still go out and make it happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, from a 22-year military vet to see that in your kids, you know, even though it's just a magic show. But like I said, that's number one fear for most people in this country is being in front of the public.
Yeah, yeah. And, it definitely does take some bravery. It's a different view there from the stage as opposed to the audience. And Jerry Seinfeld, he always had a great bit about that, that if you're at a funeral, more people would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy.
True. Yeah, very true.
But yeah, you, Haley, you've done, like, you performed in front of your school, I think, at Echoes.
Yeah, one time.
Back when that kind of stuff could happen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when I was in second grade, and everybody at school, my dad's assistant's like, oh, was that your mom? I'm like, no, that's not my mom. Different last name.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but she levitated in the middle of the gym in front of everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear more about the experience of being on the show. You guys got flown out to Georgia. Mm-hmm. It was under COVID protocols as well. And one of the first shows to really try to do in major shows to do filming or production under the pandemic and the requirements that go along with that. So that had to be interesting. You've done reality shows before, major ones, but not under these circumstances.
No, and they were it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
They were very strict, and they were very it was very important to them that they made sure everybody was safe.
Yeah.
But they're sinking tens of millions of dollars into this production, and one case of COVID could shut the entire thing down.
Right.
And so they were really strict on, even around the hotels, you were wearing a mask, you were wearing a face shield, you know, you maintain distance. You know, obviously there's times where you can't do that. And, you know, we all had, you know, the production had their own vehicles, and you were in the bubble. So once we got through quarantine, you were either in the hotel, in a production vehicle, or at the arena where we were performing.
Yeah.
And every time somebody was in and out of a vehicle, it got scrubbed as well.
Yeah.
And so nobody in, nobody out. You could get Grubhub, or you could have items delivered. They had to stay outside for 3 hours. Then they would get all sprayed with disinfectant. And then they
quarantine
would...
Quarantine the food?
Yeah, and then they would... well, the food didn't, but mail was. Food was different, but it had to stay outside and still... it was really strange how they were able to do it, but make sure that nothing was coming in and nothing was coming out of the bubble that was going to get anybody sick.
When you're describing that technology, I just feel like Mark Zuckerberg would hear that and get like that's like what he dreams of. I might use different language.
Right, exactly. I know exactly. Yeah. Yeah, he would salivate over something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as you say, they were trying to keep everybody safe. But also, I mean, you got Snoop Dogg there. You've got some national treasures. So we gotta protect those guys.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool. That was probably some of the most interactions that I had with. You know, you get the celebrity judges on the show, and usually
weirdly, right? You would think there'd be more distance under the protocols and whatnot, but you got to spend quite a bit of time with people because you were all bubbled together.
Well, I was doing a Zoom meeting 2 weeks ago with a 401k client of mine, and we had all the participants, you know, in the Brady Bunch window.
Yeah.
And when I have that many on a Zoom meeting, I have to do it here because my internet's stronger than what we can get in the building we're at.
Yeah.
And my son runs up on camera. Sticks his butt on my side, farts on me, turns around and laughs and runs away.
That's your high schooler, right?
No. No, he'd be dead.
Haley, I'd love to hear what you thought of the celebrities and some of the people you were able to meet up with.
Snoop Dogg was super duper nice. I'm like, can I have a high five? He's like, sure. So I'm like, I'm jumping as high as I can to give him a high five. And then there was like this person named Orisa Kelly. She was one of the feet while setting herself on fire. So she's in the lobby. So she's from London, so she's British. She's from the lobby. I think she's getting some tea or something while checking in. And then
as the Brits do.
Yes. And she goes, and then me and my dad and her started talking, and after a while me and her became best friends. We've been texting a lot, and she came here for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a lot of things that
awesome. Did you Did you think it was kind of weird that having to wear the mask and stuff like that, or are you kind of used to it?
Well, I keep forgetting them when I'm at my house, but when I'm there, like they'll like kind of be, like not get mad at you, but like put your mask on.
Right.
Like get have really strict rules. But we had to wear masks and face shields, and we had to quarantine for 4 days without leaving.
I'm surprised there's one celebrity you haven't mentioned.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Rosario Dawson.
And no, I lost my title of the world's greatest hugger.
Oh yeah, Cody Rhodes. Yeah, he gave me a pretty big hug. He's like the best hugger in the world.
Yeah, your dad is so bitter about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won't stop mentioning it.
Yeah.
It's my one regret.
Yeah.
Why did I do
lost,
this?
Lost the title.
Can you tell us just a little bit about what you're excited about, Scott? To see the show. I know you've been really excited.
Yeah, my level of excitement is to be able to watch her.
Yeah.
I mean, when they called for me to do the show.
We haven't mentioned, she was the youngest by far person to be featured.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a little kid.
And I was one of the oldest.
There you go.
Yeah, I was the only one there that didn't have an Instagram and didn't know how to TikTok.
Yeah.
So, you know, all those young acts kind of helped. I have an Instagram now.
There you go.
No, but it's to see her. I mean, that's, you do enough of them and they are fun. It's good for the demo reels. You know, it helps get corporate gigs, but it's not like we're doing anything now.
Yeah.
Normally, I would have turned it down just because of the amount of time.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't do this full time. I have my own business that I run. And most of my client interactions, like 90% of them, are now virtual.
Right.
So I was able to get the production, you know, they asked me to do the show. I knew I was going to be gone for a couple weeks. But when you're a financial planner, you don't need your client, you know, in a pandemic when you have clients who are nervous all year long, like, well, where's my advisor at? Well, he's doing a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah,
that doesn't bode well. And so for me, it was important that I didn't miss a single day of work or a client call.
Yeah.
So all of our filming was done at night. And I told him, well, we'll go down there. But, you know, I know you have an AM crew and a PM crew. All of our stuff is going to be during the evening.
Right.
That way I can still work. And if it extends into the school year, she can do her online school during the day as well. We don't have any interruptions.
Yeah.
And so they agreed to that. And then that at the time, it was just me. And then I was thinking, well, do I really want to go away for that long? Do I really want to go through all of this? And then I was like, I'm going to get my daughter on it.
Yeah.
So then I threw that on there. Like, well, now you got to, I get to bring my daughter. She's going to be part of the act. Thinking they would say no.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we love it. Bring her. Yeah. And it was, like I said, it was fun. Glad we did it. But more so for me and her. It was a moment I'll cherish forever.
Yeah. What are you most excited about, Haley?
Well, seeing me and my dad on this with my best friend, we can watch
like,
it together.
I'm most excited about seeing myself.
So. Yeah. But me and my best friend watching it together, having like watching all the other people on the show, just seeing how well they do and stuff.
Yeah. That's great. Cool. Well, we will share all the details in our show notes for this episode where people can check it out. But go big show on TBS. Thank you guys so much for talking
9 o'clock.
To us.
9 p.m.
All time zones, wherever you're listening to this, probably just can be. But just in case
you got the one guy in Siberia.
Yeah, tuning in from like Manhattan or something. But yeah, thank you guys and good luck on the Go Big Show.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with 3 realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years. Sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life. Mm-hmm.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
What you want? What you gonna do? Police beat for the week of November 10th through the 16th. On November 10th at 3:45 p.m. following a traffic stop, a driver and passenger were both arrested on outstanding warrants. At 10:23 p.m., a person known to have an outstanding Douglas County warrant was located and arrested. On November 11th at 12:06 p.m., report of fraud after a caller posing as law enforcement officers asked the victim for personal information and threatened criminal prosecution if the victim did not respond to the inquiry. That's kind of messed up, man. At 4:21 p.m., report of a person entering a home without permission. The suspect was known to the homeowner. On November 12th at 1:42 p.m., after conducting a traffic stop for use of a cell phone while driving, the driver was arrested on an outstanding Clackamas County warrant. At 3:40 p.m., response to a report of a domestic dispute at a park. Although it was determined no crime had occurred, one of the involved persons was arrested on an unrelated Clackamas County warrant. Jeez, that is unlucky. At 9:12 p.m., an uninsured vehicle driven by a suspended driver was stopped. The vehicle was impounded, and the driver was given a courtesy ride to his place of employment. I wish I could get rides to my place of employment. I don't want to get my car impounded, though, so I guess it's a give and take. On November 13th at 8 a.m., report of the theft of a gas-powered golf cart. I just want to see that thief just driving down the road in a golf cart, in a getaway golf cart. That's funny. That's pretty funny. At 11:05 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI, possession of methamphetamine and heroin, and an outstanding warrant. An outstanding warrant! On November 14th at 12:44 a.m., a driver was arrested for DUI and reckless driving. Not reckless driving, that's not a real word. At 4:37 p.m., a vehicle previously reported stolen was located and impounded. At 10:30 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI. On November 15th at 6:30 a.m., response to a disturbance. One involved person was arrested on an outstanding Columbia County felony warrant. And finally, on November 16th at 4:15 p.m., report of damage and theft after an unknown person gained entry and stole items from a vehicle.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby in Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms. used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.